Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, titled, They Shall Mingle Themselves with the Seed of Men. Now, this is a somewhat controversial subject with those who choose not to believe the plain statements of Scripture and make efforts to find more natural and supposedly scientific interpretations of the Bible. But we will see the plain sense and throw out all of the science falsely so called and stick with the Word of God in this and in all of our Bible studies. If you have questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our email address, bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send a letter by U.S. Postal to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, titled, They Shall Mingle Themselves with the Seed of Men. This is part 1 of 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 43. We're just going to read that one verse. You'll see why when we get there. We've gone through the first three chapters of Daniel, and the reason I told you I was going to go ahead and go through chapter 3 before we come back to this verse, because it's chapter 3 was connected to chapter 2. I didn't want to dislocate that. And so now we're coming back for a little review of Daniel chapter 2, verse 43. And we'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We just thank you for this facility and for all that you blessed us with. And Lord, we study these things that we're going to talk about tonight, and we look out in this world we're living in, it's just getting so dark and wicked. But we're thankful that you're still saving souls, and we're thankful that we can look up every day. We can wake up thinking this could be the day. Every morning we can wake up with that hope, the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. To the church, it's to be caught up in the air and to forever be with our Lord and Savior. And so help us, Lord, to be reminded of that wonderful hope we have as we see the world getting darker. We also understand the stages being set for the time Jesus called a time of great tribulation. And it's important. You want us to be aware of what's going on. You've given us all this information in your word. So help us, Lord, as we study to learn and understand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now I'm going to freak you out, and some of you may run out the door. But the title of the study tonight is taken from the text, They Shall Mingle Themselves with the Seed of Men. You look close there, you'll see a picture. This thing here is what a lot of people, millions of people claim to have been visited by that thing or something that looks like it. And they usually say it's an alien. The fellow in the middle is a modern giant. And we're going to see that there were giants in the land at the time of Noah. And the difference is these guys today, they basically all have a thyroid disability that makes them grow. And because of that, he's using a cane. The giants back in Noah's day, that would have been a big sword. They were mighty men. And on the far end there is L.A. Mazzoli showing a skull of a giant. But that giant isn't as big as some of the giants that are listed in the Bible. One of the main reasons for us to study this tonight is because you will hear the world talk about these things in ignorance, in darkness. And they will mislead you if you believe what the world tells you about these things. The Bible, on the other hand, tells us about these things, but most Christians today are too smart to believe the Bible. So what we have is a real dilemma with Christians who think that they're smarter than the Bible. And so when the Bible says something, they explain it away and they ignore it. And so we're going to tackle that tonight. as we read, starting, we're going to just read verse 43. I broke it down into two because it's a long verse, so you can read that. But this is just one verse, Daniel 2:43. Read that with me. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, we studied this, and I mentioned a few things, but we didn't go in depth when we were studying the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the image. And when he came down to the feet, the iron mixed with clay, this is where this, that's the context of this verse. And one of the main errors today in among Bible-believing Christians, people claim to be Bible believers, they refuse to accept the reality that the iron was Rome, and the iron mixed with clay will be Rome as well, but it'll be papal Rome, as whereas the iron was Caesar's Rome, the Roman Empire. And so that's a problem. When you start off wrong, you just keep going wrong. How many of you heard me say before, heresy begets heresy? You ever heard that? Yeah. Say that with me. Heresy begets heresy. You hear some of these things people believe. Who was it? Sister Marilyn sent us a little screenshot today to Jenny and I that somebody had put out about what the Mormons believe. And you hear about the Mormons and what they believe, and it sounds crazy. It does. It's why if you have a Mormon come to your door, knock on your door, and they say, I'm from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I'd like to talk to you. Oh, I've been wanting to ask you some questions. Do you have on your magic underwear right now? That's what they believe, so they shouldn't be offended when you ask them that. If I believed in magic underwear and I had them on, I'd say, well, yes, actually I do. Amen? Am I wrong? I'll give you an example. Someone comes up to me and says, do you believe in the rapture? I don't say, well, you know, what we believe has been misunderstood and misrepresented. And if, I tell you what, if you would like to sit down and we could have a study. That's what they do when you ask the Mormons what they believe. Someone comes up to me and says, you believe in the rapture? I say, yes, I believe it happened at any moment. Amen. I don't have a problem with what I believe. It may sound kind of crazy to the world, but if you believe it, well, you're embarrassed about it. Amen? Christians are embarrassed of the Bible. Most Christians will run when you bring up the rapture. Try it. Just go into a big crowd with Christians from, you know, different backgrounds. Not all, you know, I'm not talking about here. I mean, out in the world, you have a bunch of people calling themselves Christians. Bring up the rapture. Bring up the millennial kingdom. Talk about heaven in real terms. They'll want to run from you like you're an alien. Amen. Christians are embarrassed about this book. I'm not embarrassed. And it's exciting. It's amazing. You shouldn't be embarrassed. You should be embarrassed if you're embarrassed. You should be embarrassed about yourself, not the book. In that text, it says, something that is not the seed of men mingles with the seed of men. You see that? That's what it says if you've got a King James Bible. Amen. See, a lot of the problem we're going to see in a minute, I'm going to show you, the new versions all are so embarrassed by what the Bible says, they changed it. The text says what it says. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now, if they have to mingle with the seed of men, then they are not the seed of men. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. I know some of you just start type to shout amen and everything, but when I'm teaching something like this, I just want to hear it so I know you're catching it and you're getting it, because it's clear, except people don't believe it when they read it. That's the problem. They, whoever they is, we'll talk about that in a minute. But whoever they is will mingle themselves with the seed of men. Therefore, they're not the seed of men. We're faced with what's called science. The Bible calls it science, falsely so called. versus amazingly incredible claims in the Bible. And because Christians are embarrassed and they don't want to have to take a stance against fake science, then they back away from the plain truths of Scripture and they won't stand with it. It just sounds too wild and crazy. I don't want people to think I'm a Looney Tune, so I don't stand with the Bible. Well, just call me a Looney Tune all you want. I've had it. I've used it here before. But and that, what I just said, would explain the new version perversion of this text we're reading. The scholars, I just want to remind you, those of you who are reading your Bible, you read lately about those scribes. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say scribes in the Bible? Those are scholars. When you read about who it was that was always attacking and undermining and trying to call Jesus into question, scribes, they were the scholars. And the scholars have put out these new Bibles. They're paid, and they have to make a certain number of changes so they can get a copyright and make the money. That's why they're putting out these Bibles. Nobody can give me a legitimate explanation. If you think they need new versions because the people, the King James is too hard to understand. All right, that might have been believable the first 30 versions you came out with. But you're over 100 now. You don't know people who just push it too far? Those crooks lied and pretended that they needed new versions because it was hard to understand. They had to come out with a new version so you'd understand it. No. After 100 plus versions out there on the market, what anybody with any sense is going to see that they're all copyrighted by different people. You get that? They're all copyrighted by different people. That means every one of those are making somebody rich. And you know the latest crooks out there? The Southern Baptist Convention. Amen. The crooks in the Southern Baptist Convention came out with the Holman Christian Standard Bible. That wasn't good enough, so now just recently they came out with what they're just calling the plain old Christian Standard Bible. So that they could hold the copyright. And everybody who had the old Holman Christian Standard Bible, see, here's a little tactic. Now, those people will be wanting to buy the new one. So if they made 50 bucks off you for the Holman Christian Standard Bible, now they're going to make 100 because you're going to go out and buy a Christian Standard Bible. It's a scam. It's a big scam. And these people are putting out these new versions and they also fix up the parts of it they don't like. Because that just kills two birds with one stone, with all apologies to birds. I love birds. But this is an old saying. I hate the birds. But you're killing two birds with one stone whenever you can make the changes needed for the copyright and in the meantime, get rid of the verses you don't like. Here's the NIV in the text you just read. They translate to say, the people will be a mixture and will not remain united. Looks to me like they're racists. They're against racial integration. That's what that looks like. And will not remain united. Now compare that to what it says, what it should say right there. That's the most accurate literal rendering in English right there. King James. And the ESV says they will mix with one another in marriage. Ain't that something? Interesting that the Hebrew word for marriage is chathan. Or chathan. That word, nor any other for marriage, is in the Hebrew text in Daniel 2:43. They changed it.
for their own purposes. They did not give you a more accurate or understandable rendering. They changed it. The emphasis is on procreation in this text, not marriage. And it's not a race thing, except for the human race. In the New Living Translation, it says, "will try to strengthen themselves by forming alliances with each other through intermarriage." So now it's as though they're trying to say it's going to go back the way it was when kings and queens would intermarry and everything in order to unite crowns and that sort of thing. There's no biblical evidence that anything like that's going to happen. And the mess, otherwise known as the message, he says, will deteriorate into a mongrel kingdom. They're all going to turn into a canine kingdom. I just want you to see this. You look at that guy, you see him on the street, looks like a nice guy. His name Eugene Peterson. He's the guy who put out that mess. And I've been saying this, I'm not a prophet, I'm not the son of a prophet, but I've been saying this for about 10 years. He will eventually change his view on the homosexual thing. I said, I don't have a shred of proof for it, but I'm telling you, that man's going to come out in support of gay Christianity. He did. According to Good Fight Ministries, Mariah shared this with me today, and then she shared it with, I think, our BBF group. In a recent interview with Jonathan Merritt of Religion News Services, that Eugene Peterson made the following statement. This is a quote. "I wouldn't have said this 20 years ago. Heresy begets heresy. He started messing with the Bible 20 years ago. Now look where he is. But now I know a lot of people who are gay and lesbian, and they seem to have as good a spiritual life as I do." I would have to agree with that statement. I'm sure that's a true statement. But because of that, he thinks they're okay. He says, he went on to say that I think that kind of debate about lesbians and gays might be over. Well, Eugene, it's over in the apostate churches. The debate's over in Laodicea. You've given yourself over to Sodom and Gomorrah. But it's also over here. What the Bible says, that settles it. Debate is over. If you're a gay or lesbian, the Bible says you're a sodomite, and the Bible says to repent and believe the gospel. Otherwise, lest you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Debate over. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, these guys that put out these new Bible versions are a bunch of spiritual reprobates. You've got, in the NIV committee, Harold Wootstra and Virginian Mellicott are two of the main people behind the NIV when it was produced. Virginia Mellicott came out as an open lesbian. Harold Wootstra, while he was translating the NIV Bible, producing the very words in the NIV Bible, was having sodomite sex in gay bathhouses in New York City, and a few years after that NIV came out, he died of AIDS. And your pathetic preachers giving those NIVs out never told anybody that. Something wrong with the pastors in America today. There's a reason why there's something wrong with Christianity in America. There's a reason why there's wrong with so many Christians in America, because their pastors are rotten. And I'm talking about Baptists. I'm talking about Pentecostals. I'm talking about the people who claim to believe that book. They're pathetic. And it angers me because I love people and I don't like to see people led astray. Give me a whip and a church. No, I wouldn't do that, because the people in those churches, they're begging for it. The Bible says the people gather to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's the people. So ignore these Bible perversion pimps and go with... That's what they are. The Bible says they're spiritual whores. That's Bible. Spiritual whores. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, is what the Bible says. Now the question is, what does the Bible, what does the real Bible say, King James Bible, not what we think about it? So before forming an opinion, I want you to read Proverbs 18:13 with me. Read that. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. That's for anybody here, anybody watching anywhere who are listening to this. Most of the people I've talked to over the years, they won't listen to the evidence. They've closed their ears and their mind, and the Bible says that's a fool who does that. It is folly and shame if you won't listen to what the Bible says, and you come up to preacher who, you can question a preacher, but when the preacher has laid it out in Scripture, and you can't even argue with what the Bible says, but your argument is, well, that's not what I was always taught. I've never heard that before. That's not what my preacher said. Those are horrible responses. Think about it when you say, well, I've never heard that before. Is that supposed to surprise me? You've heard everything before, and this, you know, that's a shock that you've never heard something before? Think about it. When someone says, well, I haven't taught that before, well, I'm sad for you that you went to a bad church. Amen. Amen. And listen, I'm chewing you out. I'm trying to tell you, just stop asking questions like that, because it really they're bad questions. How many of you ever told there's no such thing as a stupid question? A few of you? Whoever told you that lied to you. There are stupid questions. Anytime you question this book, you're asking a stupid question. Now listen, it doesn't mean you don't ask questions about this book. That's not what I said. We ask lots of questions about this book. But when a book says something, and just like I told you about the vegetarian woman, and I showed her where God changed what He said and said, eat the meat. Where's the beef? Some of you remember that Wendy's commercial, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Someone look at me and says, well, I've never heard that before. My response is, I don't care whether you've heard it before. I just don't care. And if you won't listen to someone laying out the evidence, surprisingly, how many of you knew the flat earth thing has taken off? Did you know that? There are people all over the world right now openly declaring they believe the world is flat. The earth is flat. That we're not on a globe. That NASA lies about everything. We're all being lied to, etc. Well, and they'll say, well, show me Scripture that says the earth is a globe. And I respond by saying, well, first of all, you have a couple passages. Isaiah says that he sits upon the circle of the earth. Job says he hangs the earth upon nothing. Appears to be global to me. But in Romans 1, it also says that all men are without excuse because we can see His creation. And I said, the flat earth thing is trying to convince people that we're deceived. Somebody today said they looked at one of these flat earth people and said, well, why don't you just get out a telescope and look? And they said, because our perception is wrong. You see? Those are the words of a fool. It's folly and shame unto that person. Why? Because if you won't even hear the evidence, you're never going to come around to the truth. Amen? And so that's what I lay out before we start this study. The reality check is this. This is what the Bible says, whether you've heard this before or not. Amen? If you see the Bible says what it says, and we just saw what it said, they, whoever they are, will mingle with the seed of men. It's going to happen. Now, look at what the Bible says elsewhere. Before the global flood in Noah's day, how many of you believe that when Noah built the ark, that Ken Ham has replicated in Kentucky, that when he built that ark, God sent a flood that covered the entire planet. Raise your hand. If you don't believe that, we already start off with a problem. But there are a lot of Christians out there telling today they think it was a local flood. Even though the Bible says everything on the face of the earth died. Everything. He repeats it several times because he knows how stupid people are. God repeats things a lot of times, I'm convinced, because he just knows what he's dealing with. Remember Jesus said, what was it? It said that Jesus didn't respond because he knew what was in man. You know, there's just times where words are of no use. But if you believe in the global flood, then before Noah's flood, before the flood in Noah's day, the Bible says fallen angels mingled with the seed of men. And that's what it says. I want you to turn over there. Genesis chapter 6. Turn your Bible. Genesis chapter 6. And again, as we turn here, don't ask whether or not this is crazy. That just almost sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie. The question is, what does it say? That's the question we want to answer. Genesis chapter 6, beginning of verse 1. We're going to read this carefully. Read verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Now stop there. All men. The daughters referred to in verse 1 are of men, period, right? Doesn't just say Cain's seed, does it? Now that's one of the things the Bible perverts will do, is they'll jump over and say this is only the daughters are only referring to Cain's seed, which is ridiculous. Let's go to verse 2. Read that. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So the sons of God, whoever they are, the sons of God took the daughters of men, not one particular branch of mankind. It just says daughters of men. Now, keep your finger there and turn over to Job chapter 1. Job is real easy to find. If you find Psalms, then look at the book before Psalms and you're at Job. Of course, there are some, like one guy thought that the book of Job was about how to get a job, and the Lord gave it. It's not the book of Job, it's the book of Job. Job chapter 1, look at verse 6 when you get there. Who are the sons of God according to the Bible? Job 1, 6, read that. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Satan is a cherub. Cherub is an angelic being. The sons of God are angelic beings coming before God, according to the Bible. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. See it again. Read verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And one last time, because it's such a wonderful verse, Job 38. Go over to Job 38, verse 7. This is something I think we're going to see for ourselves when we get up there. Write this down. This is something you're going to see, I believe, in the future. Job 38, verse 7. Read that with me. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's in the context of verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? He's asking about, this is at creation. This is before Genesis 1:1. This is before Genesis 1:1. These are angels.